focusing on some Bible things that the church of God just may need in the middle of the week. We can be in a series on Sunday mornings, and God uses that and His timing with each one. I understand that. And the same thing on Sunday nights, as we'll be starting here in a couple of weeks, tough topics for today's church. But on Wednesday nights, sometimes it's just, I enjoy just kind of freelancing a little bit and basically taking the temperature of God's people, even my own temperature, in things that the Lord would have for us and that He would teach us through His Word and some things that we can learn. Now, when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we are coming to one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. I've preached out of this chapter on a few occasions, two or three occasions before, a different topic and really a different area of it, the previous verses, the first several verses, more so than what I'm going to look at here this evening. And it's the passage of Scripture that is telling us some of the details about how Paul the Apostle is describing how that he had a thorn. The Bible actually calls it a thorn in his flesh. And if you were to look, I believe it is at verse number 8, the Bible actually says that Paul asked God thrice, to take away that thorn. Now, many of us may wonder, what is it that was the thorn that was in Paul's flesh? I mean, was it a physical thorn? No, it wasn't a physical thorn that was stuck in his side or he got in a briar patch. But it was some form of an ailment that he had, some form of a disability. I believe it was with his eyes, and that can be backed up with other scriptures. But some form of a disability or an ailment that Paul the Apostle had. And it was so heavy in his life, and such a hindrance to him in the work that he was attempting to do for the Lord, that Paul asked God three times to take that thorn away. Now listen to me, every one of us that are here tonight, we have got a thorn that is in our side. Now whatever your thorn is, it's going to be different likely from anybody else's thorn. It may be some form of a disability that you deal with and you don't understand why that you have to have that disability. Maybe it's a mind, maybe it's a body, whatever it might be. It might just be a thorn with just struggling with where you're at in life. You know, I've said it many times, you never thought life would turn out the way that it has for you. Boy, all of us when we're younger, boy, we've got a certain picture of how it's going to be as we get older, how we're going to raise our children. We're going to have the little brick house in the suburbs with the white picket fence and the little dog running around. Everything's going to be perfect with the tires swing and all that kind of stuff. Everybody has that picture in their mind of whatever it might be of where your life is going to be. And it may just simply be a thorn that you are dealing with a level of unhappiness because you're just not where you thought that you would be. Your thorn could be maybe your job situation. Your thorn could be family-based. You name it, there's all kinds of different things. I don't think there's a wrong answer, but every one of us, there's no doubt in this building tonight, we have got that thorn in our flesh. We have got that battle that we are fighting. We have got that matter that we cannot seem to get victory over. It overwhelms us. It discourages us. It absolutely just wears us out. And the fact is, haven't we asked God over and over and over again, God, would you take away my thorn? Lord, if you would remove my thorn, I believe I could do greater things for you. Have you ever done that? I have. Lord, if you'd remove this hindrance, I'll be able to serve you better. I'll be able to be used of you more effectively, Father, if you'll just remove this hindrance. You need to understand, God always answers prayer. He may not answer the prayer the way that we want Him to answer prayer, but God always answers prayer. We are looking here at the Apostle Paul. And friends, we are looking in the name of the Apostle Paul at one of the greatest outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt, I believe, the greatest preacher that ever walked the face of the earth. Amen. The greatest man of faith.
The man who had more of the power of God, the touch of God, the anointing of God on his life, the man who had more God on him than anybody else, perhaps, in my opinion, that we'll find in the Bible outside of Christ in the flesh. This was a man who walked with God. This was a man who knew God. This was a man who wanted everything that God had for him. He desired it. He hungered for it. He longed for it. And this was a man that was so close to the Lord that he saw God move when he asked God to move. But he had a thorn. And he said, God, I'm coming to you and I'm asking you to remove my thorn that I have. And the Lord did not do it. Thrice he asked him to do it. Three times. I encourage you to study the first eight verses of this chapter. But my heart is drawn this Wednesday night to God's response to the Apostle Paul. God's response to the Apostle Paul was not what Paul wanted to hear. Paul said, remove my thorn, Lord. And so when we come to the ninth verse, we are seeing the response of the Lord to Paul. And I want you to see it with me. Verse number 9. He said unto me, this is God speaking now to Paul. And if you've got a red letter edition of the Bible, then you see it. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And remember? Remember? You know where we're at right here. Paul is saying, God, remove my thorn. Take it away. I'll be better for you without it. This ailment, this disability, this hindrance that I've got, Lord, take it away. And here we see God, his response, no, my grace will be sufficient for thee. Why? My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now here it is. Most gladly, this is Paul talking now. You can see that in your Bible, can't you? Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may be upon me. Paul said, Lord, take my thorn away, take my infirmity away, take my hindrance away. It'll help me do more and greater things for you. God said, no, my grace is bigger than your thorn. My grace is bigger than your infirmity. My grace is bigger than your disability. I love it, Brother Joel, how that we see no evidence that Paul went back to grappling to God again. When God said no, Paul simply responds by saying, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul came to the realization of the fact that God could not use him as much as he thought God could use him if he took away that thorn. In other words, God is saying, you have to have the thorn so I can use you the more. Delighting tonight in difficulty. That's what I want to speak to you about for a few moments. Would you let me do that? Amen. Delighting in difficulty. And so I would ask you tonight, have you ever felt weak? I mean, when you look at the Word of God and you look at what He is actually saying, the Lord is telling Him here that His strength is made perfect in weakness. Have you ever felt weak? And I don't necessarily mean a physical weakness there. You can apply that, of course. Spiritually weak. Have you ever just simply felt hurt in life? Disappointed? Discouraged? Hey, maybe you're just at the end of your rope. You're confused. You're frustrated. You've been done wrong. And you're just downright mad about it. That inner vexation, the flesh, is all over you because you've been done wrong.
And you can name any other form of human emotion that you want to right there, of any way, any kind, but you are feeling the weakness of it all. And that is your thorn. That is your infirmity in your life at this moment. You don't understand why you are having to deal with it. And the bottom line is, you don't know how to handle it in a way that's going to be pleasing and glorifying to God. Now, as we look at this story here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, I believe that we are seeing Paul the Apostle, this great man of God, this man who knew how to get in touch with God, this man who knew how to get things done for God, this man that I believe, the Bible tells us, I believe he even died and God raised him up and gave him life again because he was not done with him. Out of the body or not, I know not, he says. This man was dealing with infirmities, problems, trials, thorns in his side. And he says, God, I need help. I want us to focus this evening on the response that the Lord gave them in him in three ways. And I want you to think, first of all, as the Lord responded to him, Paul learned that this was an undesired struggle that he was in. Paul never desired to be in the situation that he was in. Every one of us that are in this building tonight, those that are watching live, we are all tired of problems. And the fact is, most of us living in this great nation do not have near the problems as other people do, other believers living in other places. We are blessed beyond measure, and until you've experienced that in other places, you do not understand the goodness of God that He has placed on this land and the place where we get to grow and live. But regardless, we're all just tired of problems. We're sick of them. One of the reasons that we want to go to heaven is because God said He's going to wipe away all tears. All of the problems of life will be gone on the other side. And that's true. And we can rejoice in that. I've never met anyone, and if you have, I would love for you to tell me about them. I've never met anyone who looks forward to problems. I've never met anyone who looks to create problems. Nobody desires to find themselves in a situation of problem after problem after problem in life. We're all running from them, not to them, aren't we? Boy, we don't want anything to do with the problems. They are undesired struggles that we have. And we think about undesired struggles, we think of how they are unexpected sometimes, aren't they? How many of you have gone to bed one night and everything seemed to be going just fine? But you wake up and you find in that brand new day, you've got a brand new problem. You've got a struggle. You've got a thorn you didn't have the day before. How many of you with the ringing of one telephone, maybe on Valentine's Day, one phone call that comes, you learn that your wife has a deadly, aggressive form of cancer. Tomorrow I could rise to find that everything has changed, the songwriter said. Unexpected struggles, unexpected problems that come in our lives. You never planned it this way. You never dreamed about it. You never marked it all out in the blueprint of your life. But all of a sudden, you've got problems that you weren't expecting. You don't want them, but they're here. The Bible lets us know that if we're just born, trouble is coming. The Bible says in Job, as the sparks fly upward, trouble is coming our way. Man is born into trouble. And the fact is, they are so oftentimes unexpected. And when we look in verse number 9, the Bible says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And He's telling us tonight, my grace is sufficient for you too. Paul did not expect these problems. He did not desire them. He was not going out and looking for these infirmities, this thorn that he had. He wasn't doing that. If he was, he would have been prepared to handle it in a better way. But he wasn't. And he asked God three times, would you please remove my struggle, my thorn, my infirmity that I have right now? And we have all found ourselves in this place where we have found ourselves overwhelmed with struggle. We weren't expecting it. But here it is. And if we could give testimonies across this room on this Wednesday night, we would hear stories of struggles, stories of trials, infirmities, thorns, problems in our lives. And every one of us would say, in most cases likely, we just weren't expecting this. This was not in our original plan. They're unexpected struggles, aren't they? We also need to understand that they're universal, though. And what I mean by that is simply, and I don't want to be unkind, everybody has struggles. Everybody has thorns. Everybody has infirmities. Everybody just has trials. Now listen, that does not weaken or lessen the importance of the things that you're dealing with and that I'm dealing with. Not at all. But what it should do to us as brothers and sisters in Christ is it should motivate us to be more sensitive to the needs of others. We must never live a selfish life thinking we're the only one suffering, in our words. Amen. We're the only one that's in trouble. Sometimes the very people that are helping us, and I've learned this in the past with people who have been helping me, sometimes the very people who have tried to help me in the past, I later learned were dealing with problems 1,000 times greater than I was dealing with. Boy, I could tell stories of that in my life. Everybody has problems. Everybody is struggling. Everybody has thorns in their life. And I tell you what I've learned, the more you try to pray for others, the more you try to uplift others that are going through their struggles in life, the more God helps you with yours. The more God puts other people in your life to be able to carry you through the circumstances that you are dealing with. So it's not a matter that your problems and your struggles are not real. It's a matter that everybody is dealing with them, and we should pray for them and be sensitive to the very things they are fighting with and dealing with, the problems that they are having. They are the undesired struggles. What's yours tonight? You're thinking of it, aren't you? The thing you never thought, you never wanted, it's now in your life, and it's a problem. It's a thorn. It's a trial. It's an infirmity that you are dealing with. The undesired struggle. Secondly, notice with me the unprecedented satisfaction. This blesses my heart. One of the reasons why that you want to walk with God as close as you can every day that God gives you to live is because you will be amazed at the satisfaction that you will find in the Lord even in the middle of all the problems. You will be amazed at the peace that God will give you in your heart even when it seems your world is falling apart. Even when it seems the trials are overwhelming to you, even when it seems that you are up against the wall, you're done, it's amazing how God's peace will come to you in your life. But it is only done, as we'll see in a moment, for those who are walking with God. That's where that peace is found. Those who walk with God, they are by no means exempt from the trials. The thorns, as a matter of fact, if you're going to walk with God, you're probably going to have the attacks of hell on your life to the point you'll have thorn after thorn after thorn. And the closer you get to Jesus, the more the devil is fighting you. And you'll have trouble after trouble after trial after trial after infirmity. It's just the way it works. God never said it wouldn't be that way. But I have been amazed at how God will give peace and God will give satisfaction in the middle of the storm and in the middle of the trials of life. I love the way the Apostle Paul puts this unprecedented satisfaction, first of all, with how he tells us that there is going to be the gladness. Can you imagine gladness? Many of us right now, we're in the middle of a storm, aren't we? We're in the middle of the trial. The infirmity, the thorn of our life. And we've asked God over and over, God, remove my thorn. And right now we're thinking, I can't have much gladness. That's a problem. A child of God ought to be able to have some. And Paul lays it out to us so beautifully and so well in verse number 9. Do you see it right here? He says, most gladly therefore would I rather glory in my infirmities. What a fascinating statement. Now we remember the context of the scripture. You remember that Paul has got, the Bible declares it, a thorn in my flesh. Some form of an infirmity, some form of a disability. It was wearing him out. It was beating his up. He was over it. Three times he asked the Lord, God, remove this thorn in my flesh. Please take it away, God. I can be greater, I think, for you if you will just take this thorn away from me. And God says, no. I want you to endure the pain of the thorn and the struggles of life, because it is then that you'll learn that my grace is big enough to take you through that thorn. It's going to make you better. And then he says, okay, my response to you, Lord, I accept my thorn. And I'm going to be glad. Glad? Are you glad with your thorn today? Here's this man. God just said no to the greatest request that he had had, perhaps he'd ever had, concerning himself. And God has said no. Three times he prayed it. God said, no. The use of the word gladly here, that we see this word glad, is certainly telling us that there can be joy. Do you understand that? There can be joy. There can be satisfaction right in the middle of our struggle, so much to the point, Paul goes on to say, that I would rather have my thorn. I would rather have my trial. I would rather have my infirmity, because I'm sensing, I'm experiencing a grace that I had never known before. I would rather be in the mess that I am in, the situation I never wanted to be in. I'd rather be here, because I'm learning that it is making me more dependent upon you. I'm learning how to walk with God more. I'm learning how to trust God more. I'm learning how to die to self more. I'm learning that my life is bigger than me. I'm learning that my life is more about just simply what I want it to be about. Boy, this is hard for us, is it not? But folks, if we are so unhappy in our struggle that we are in, I mean the bad spot, the unexpected, the undesired spot that we find ourselves in, if we are so unhappy in this situation that we lose our joy for Jesus, it speaks to a very deep, serious, spiritual problem that we have. So my question this evening is to you, do you have gladness in your trial tonight? The infirmity, the thorn, the trouble, the disability, the confusion, all of the stuff, do you have gladness in the middle of it? Is it making you better or bitter? Are you glad? Not glad because of the situation, the struggle. Not necessarily glad in it, even the circumstances of it, but you're just glad because you felt the good hand of God carrying you through the trial of your life. I remember so clearly when my mother died, and I had one moment where I broke down. You know, everybody handles grief differently, right? And I had one moment that I broke down, and it was in my, our bathroom has a separate, well, it was in the old house, but has a separate shower room, and the vanities, like our current house, is in a separate room. And it was in that vanity area before you walked right there at the threshold where the carpet met the tile. going into the actual bedroom part, I just fell to my knees, and I had a moment of grief. I believe it was the day of her death. I've heard my whole life about God's grace, but I never experienced that form of grace like it seemed in that moment that he just picked me up. It was amazing. It's not that I was glad she was gone or anything of that nature. It's not that I didn't have the picture in my mind of all that she went through and the confusion about what life is going to be like. It's not none of that. It was just simply God said, I'm in control and it's okay. I could still have a smile on my face. I could still get up and face another day because God had all of these things under control. Grace had stepped right into the middle of it. There was a measure of satisfaction. There was some gladness to know that the hand of God sovereignly was in control of it all. And nothing I could have done differently would have changed that. So in the middle of our struggle, we must find satisfaction. It should lead to a level of gladness that we could have. But then it should point also to the greatness as well. And you look at verse number 9. He says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Folks, we can be glad in our struggle. We can be glad in our struggle and in our trials because we are realizing that the reason that we are having to go through all of that is so God can get bigger in our life. God can manifest His power through our life. Now listen to me. Now get this. The secret, ladies and gentlemen, to every matter of life, the secret to success in it, to every matter of life is just getting the power of Christ resting on your life, working through your life. And not just working through us, but I'm talking about totally controlling us. The power of God will reach your family for Christ. The power of God will pull you through the sorrow and the trial that you are in. The power of God is what caused living the biggest and strongest living soldiers on resurrection morning in the garden to fall down as dead men at the mere sight of an angelic being. The power of God did that. The power of God is what allowed Samson in his final moments to push down the pillars and destroy thousands upon thousands in the Colosseum. The power of God is what parted the Red Sea. The power of God is what allowed children of Israel to cross Jordan. The power of God is what gave them victory after victory after victory. It was the power of God that raised the Son of God from the grave. It is the power of God that will resurrect us one day and rapture us to heaven. How dare we insult the power of God by saying God's power is not strong enough for your trial, for your struggle, for your thorn, for the infirmity that you are dealing with in your life. I'm talking about this is a great, great power. And if we'll just get the power of God, we will find gladness. We will find satisfaction in the middle of our worst days, in the middle of our world falling apart. God's power will do all of that. I want the power of God on my life, even if it means I have to live the rest of my days with an infirmity, with a thorn, with something that I feel, if God would just take away as Paul did, I feel that I'd be better for him. No. God sees what we can't see. God knows that He cannot trust us with what we think we need. And God realized the fact, I can't use you. You'd have been too big for me to use if I did not allow this infirmity in your life. Now listen, the reason that many of us today may be having to deal with the struggles and the trials and the problems and the infirmities and the thorns that we have in our lives, are you listening? The reason many of us are having to deal with this right now is because it is the only way God knew that He could get our attention. The only way. The only way. We were so big in ourselves. God would have never been able to use us. God had to allow a trial to come into our lives to just get our attention. That's not the case with all of us. I understand that. But I can tell you it was the case with me. God said you'd have been too big to use. I got to give you a trial. I got to give you a thorn. So we are learning from the Word of God and from the Apostle Paul that we have an undesired struggle. He didn't want this. But there was an unprecedented satisfaction that was in the middle of it all. But thirdly, I want you to notice that there is an unexplained strength that God will give you in the middle of your trial. Strength that you didn't know you had the ability to have. Do you remember the story several years ago? I believe it was in Memphis, Tennessee. 4 or 5 years ago, maybe, there was a bad car accident right out in front of a high school. And the car accident threw the driver, an older lady, out of the car, and the car landed on top of her. The football team was practicing. 4 or 5 of the football players ran over there to that site, and in a strength that would have appeared to them at that moment to seem supernatural, these 4 or 5 guys lifted that car off of that woman's body. She lived. Pulled her out. Strength that they didn't know they had. Strength that God gave them in the middle of a traumatic situation, a trial. I submit to your heart that God will give the same type of supernatural strength from another world with you to get you through the trial. Amen. To give you the grace that is needed to get you through the thorn and to operate even in the middle of it. You see, when the power of Christ, when it starts to begin to work and to rest upon all of our lives, even in the middle of the struggles and the trials that we may have, we will not be able to put words to all the ways that He will pick us up and carry us through the trial that we are in. We just don't have words. There's not words that will explain the way that God meets our needs in the middle of the trial. That is exactly what the Lord is telling Paul right here. He says, as long as I've got you weak, I can be strong. I tell you, I would far rather operate in the strength of God than the strength of John. I don't have the ability to do anything. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, if I can keep you in a weak state, which is why that I've had to give you this infirmity in your life, this struggle, this trial, this thorn, if I can keep you in a weak state, I can show my might, I can show my power in ways that I could have never done before. Paul did not have the words to express the strength that God had given to him. But watch it. Paul learned that this strength came through patience. Paul had to have some patience. And friend, for you to get through the trial of your life, deal with the thorn that you're having to deal with, you're going to have patience. You have to give God room to move. We talked about Sunday night. Time to move. Not the way that you and I want Him to move either, but the way that He wants to move. Look with me in verse number 10. I love the way he breaks down this verse. We've just heard everything. He says, therefore, he's pointing back to everything that had just happened. Therefore, in response to all of this, look at what Paul says. He takes, tell me what he says next here. I take what? Pleasure. I take pleasure. Did you notice it? Gladness has now turned to pleasure. I'm walking with God. I'm in the middle of my thorn. I'm not just glad in it because I'm experiencing the greatness of God, but I'm going to be patient in it. And as I'm patient in it, I'm finding pleasure with the Lord as I walk through my storm, as I walk through the trial of my life. Therefore, with all these things in mind, therefore, he says, I take pleasure in what? My infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, persecution, distresses for Christ's sake. Now, did you notice the little catalog that he laid out for us there? We see the first one that is given to us. He's saying, I take pleasure in my infirmities. He's actually meaning right here, he is taking pleasure in his feebleness of mind and of body, literally is what it means. He says, God, this thorn is wearing me out. This infirmity is just totally beating me down. I feel so weak. I can't get to the next town I feel like to preach. I can't help the church at Corinth the way that I once could. God, I don't have the strength anymore to proclaim the truth of God's word, but yet in the middle of it, I know that I'm strong, I'm operating through you and through your power, and therefore I'm glad because I'm seeing the greatness of God. I'm going to be patient in the middle of it, and I'm going to have pleasure going through this process. But oh God, I feel so feeble in mind and in body. Then he talks about reproaches. It's meaning overbearing insults. It's actually talking about attacks that are coming against him. It's giving the idea that he is an outcast. His friends that he once had have left him. Boy, we could talk about that, couldn't we? You try to walk with God, you're not going to have to worry about walking away from your friends. They will walk away from you. I have learned, however, that God, as he promised in the book of Luke, will give you 100-fold of everything that you left behind. God will not allow you to be less in those categories because you made a choice to go with God. Paul is saying, I'm going to take pleasure in the fact, even though I'm an outcast, even though there's people out there trying to take my head off, I'm going to take pleasure in it. I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to do it with gladness. I'm seeing the greatness of God. I'm going to be patient through it all. I promise you, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Necessities is the next one that we see. It's talking about constraints that are put upon him. Distresses in life. We see distresses, the next word used, but it's different here. Distresses that are on me. Lord, I'm going to be patient in the middle of the distresses, all of the constraints, you know, the chains that I find myself in today. I'm going to be faithful to you all through that. Of course, you see the word persecutions. We know what that is. Distresses is the next one. Now get this. It is meaning a narrowing of room. It's meaning that you have got your back that is hung up against the wall, and you feel helpless in your situation. You ever felt like you've been in a place before where you didn't know which way to turn anymore? You've exhausted every means of hope or help that you think you can find. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. And the walls, the old saying, you know it, the walls are closing in on you. That's what distresses is speaking of here. The walls, Paul felt like, were closing in on him. But he said, God, I'm going to be glad. I'm satisfied in the middle of it with a gladness because I'm seeing the greatness of God through your grace work through my life. I am seeing that I'm going to be patient. I'm going to walk with you through every aspect and everything that's having to do with it. I'm seeing the very strength of God manifested in my life as I never could have before, even though the walls are closing. Even though I have no place else to run, no other resource that I can go to. When you look at that list of things that Paul gives us here, wouldn't you agree he had to be a patient man? He had to wait on God. He had to be patient to be glad. He had to be patient to be able to exalt Christ in the middle of it and see the greatness of God all through it. He had to be patient. Friends, you've got to be patient. I've got to be patient with whatever the battle is that you are fighting, with whatever the storm is, with whatever the trial is, with whatever the thorn, the infirmity that you may have, the distresses, the necessities, all of these things that we've talked about. The walls are closing in, and it doesn't look like you have time to be patient. Have you ever felt that way? But God says, wait on me. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made known in your weakness. And he says you've got to be patient. So no matter where you're at today, give God time to move. Amen. Give God room to move. He does know what he is doing. Now watch it carefully. Go back to the Bible with me. Go back to the Bible. He lays out all of these things. All of these things that he is dealing with. The distresses. He talks about the persecution. In distresses. For Christ's sake. Now, I believe that those words, for Christ's sake, those three words, are you listening? Those three words are the biggest words and the biggest statement in both of these verses and the whole chapter to this point. Why? He's saying, because I'm willing to suffer this in the will of God. As long as I know it's for Christ. As long as I know I'm doing what's right, I am willing to be satisfied in my struggle. I am willing to be patient in it. I am willing to see the grace of God manifested through His greatness. I'm willing, dear God, to see your strength. As long as I know I'm just going to stay on the right path. I know this is where I'm going to see it. I'm going to walk with God for Christ's sake. It's all about Jesus, folks. Life is not easy. Life is tough. Life is a battle. It'll never cease to be that way. But for Christ's sake, we're going to press on for Him. Got to have patience, though. Patience will always lead to perseverance. Just staying with God. Look at the last part of verse number 10. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Then am I strong. Do you notice the word then? Yes, I'm weak, Paul is saying, but I'm okay with the weakness because when that happens, I'm going to have a fresh strength that I never, ever knew existed. It is really hard to imagine for all of us here how we can possibly in our lives experience the greatness of God when we are in our weakness of man. But the Bible tells us so clearly that we can. You will experience how big God is when you are little, when you got nothing left to offer. You'll realize how God will step in and He'll work in every area of life. The reason that we can be glad, we can be patient, we can persevere through it all is because we come to the place in our life and in our walk with God where we realize the reason we are going through this trial and we're okay with it is because we know it's bringing us closer to Jesus. Amen. And that's why that you are able to be satisfied when you see the strength of God through the struggles of life. Because when they're over, you know it's going to bring you closer to Christ. And that's worth it. Amen. And then one day, The trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be right there. We endure to the end. We had fought a good fight. We finished the course. We kept the faith. I don't want to be somebody that was in and out, up and down, hot and cold, on and off. I want to be all the way in for the Lord. I want to hear the well done that is coming out of His mouth. Someone has said it so well. They said that you will never hear the words well done unless you have done well. And how desperately we need to get that in our hearts. We'll never hear the words well done unless we have done well. God's not going to give a trophy to everybody. You understand that? He's not going to do it. You've got to run the race. You've got to fight the fight. This passage of Scripture, it's been bouncing around in my mind really ever since, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, God gave us such a wonderful service on a Wednesday night, and Brother Timothy stood up. Do you remember? He was right over here. And he stood up and he told the story about how him and Lexi had just lost a baby. Undesired trial, right? It's not the way they planned it. They didn't want it. By no means were they looking to find themselves in that situation. But they found themselves in the spot that so many others have and so many others have since. And he referenced the movie, Facing the Giants. I can't watch those movies. I weep. I avoid them, don't I? Yeah, I'm a mess. Especially that part that he was talking about. And if you've ever seen that movie, she was in the doctor's office. She had just gone out to the car. And she said, Lord, she had just lost her baby. They hadn't had a child. They wanted a child and just lost it. And she was struggling with how she was going to tell her husband. And she said, Lord, I'm going to love you anyway. Lord, I'm going to serve you anyway. Doesn't matter. This isn't the way I wanted it. You know what that lady was saying? She was saying, I'm in a struggle right now. But I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to see your greatness in the middle of it. And I'm going to see the strength of God through patience and through perseverance. I'm going to see how God's going to carry me through it. And I'm going to tell some stories one day that I don't even know what they are yet of how God did it. And then, of course, God moved in their lives in that movie. See, every one of us today have got the infirmity. Rejoice in the Lord. That's a good one. Every one of us have got the trials, the distresses, all those things. Different ones. You've got them. I've got them. My wife and I have been battling some things of late, and I have. And when you're battling some things, sometimes they'll keep you up at night, won't they? 2 or 3 in the morning, I woke up. This has been about 3 weeks ago. I woke up. And I stood up, got out of bed, and I stood up and started walking towards the hallway. And I didn't get no more than 2 steps. It was so heavy on my mind and my heart. I didn't get any more than 2 steps. And God brought those words that we've studied tonight to my heart. My grace is sufficient. The first thought that came to my mind after hearing in my own way the Holy Spirit say that to my heart. Do you know what I heard, Brother Joel? I asked God thrice, 300 times, 3,000 times, and what came to my heart is God just told me no. And that's how I take that to this moment. God told me no. And so every morning, as I'm in my prayer time, do you know what I do? I say, thank you, Lord. You answered my request, not the way I wanted it, but I'm taking this as a no. If you change it, wonderful. But I'm taking this as a no. But I'm comforted in the fact that your grace is sufficient. And somehow it's going to make me better for you. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know the details.